wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Bible faith, what is it? In these last days, the world needs to see real Bible Christianity in action. But there must first be the experience of genuine Bible faith. What then is this Bible faith? Who has it? And who is without it? What does it take to experience it? And what is the evidence that one possesses it? The Bible says, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God's salvation is instantaneous. It is a sure salvation. It is an eternal salvation. And it transforms those who have it. But what does the Bible mean by believing? What is the faith that gives one this wonderful salvation in Christ? From God's word we learn we must come to God in faith. He that cometh to God must believe. And God so hates man's inexcusable unbelief. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Don't be occupied about whether your faith is weak or strong, great or small. The important thing is, where is your faith? The weakest faith in Christ brings salvation. But the strongest faith in yourself or in your works or your church will bring damnation. Be sure your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a kind of faith that does not save. The demons also believe and tremble, the Bible says. You must have the faith of which the Bible says, who believe to the saving of the soul. When the Bible offers salvation, forgiveness, and eternal life to those who believe, it means what God calls faith and not what people count as faith. It means the believing that God sees as real in the heart. What then is this faith that saves? First, it is not a shortcut faith, but a full Bible faith. It is preceded by real repentance of sin before God. There are those who try to get into the salvation road by climbing up some other way, as our Lord Jesus spoke of them. They dodge God's command to all men to repent, and they say they believe, but theirs is a faith that does not save. Nor has their kind of faith saved them from their sins. They still live in them. The Bible says they repented not that they might believe. Real saving faith is always preceded by repentance. It is repentance toward God first and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. One day I spoke to a man about his soul and he said, I'm a believer, I'm a firm believer, but I'm not saved. That sounded wrong. Upon further inquiry, he told me of his Christian wife who read the Bible to him, and he believed it was true, but he was not saved. His breath declared he loved his liquor. He claimed the faith, but he never repented of his sins. He loved them and lived in them. Without repentance, faith is furious with God, and it will not save your soul nor change your life. If one inquires why Paul said nothing to the jailer about repenting, but only said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the jailer was already a truly repentant man. See him on his knees crying, what must I do to be saved? When Paul stood on Mars Hill and before him was a crowd like people are today, a folk satisfied with themselves and their religion, Paul cried, now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If I find a person in whom the Holy Spirit has wrought conviction and repentance, I point that soul to Christ and to Calvary and call upon him to believe and be saved. But when preaching to a world of proud and sinful people, I point them to the judgment of a sin-hating God, the fire that never shall burn out, and I call upon them to repent ere they perish in their sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew there could be no shortcuts. He first spoke to Nicodemus saying, ye must be born again, to smash his personal and religious pride and lead him to repentance. And after that, he spoke of Calvary and of faith in himself the Savior. An abbreviated faith that leaves out repentance will not save. Second, it must be a personal and not just a historic faith. An historic faith accepts the Bible record as true in both its relating the past and revealing the future. A liberalist, a modernist, has not even a historic faith, and for such there is no hope. When the Bible relates the past as its account of creation, of the flood in Noah's day, and of the great fish swallowing Jonah, the conceited liberalist will not believe the Bible. When the Bible makes its divine revelations, as of the virgin birth of Jesus, his atoning blood and death at Calvary, and his bodily resurrection, as the Bible warns of hellfire and prophesies of the literal return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the liberalist has not even a historic belief, but he defies the Word of God. Without a historic faith, a man is lost, be he a professor in a seminary or a preacher in a pulpit. He's a lost sinner. But a historic faith in itself will not save you. You must have a personal faith. Nearly 100 years ago, a Frenchman, Blondin, walked a tightrope over the great Niagara Falls. Then seeing the boy, he said, "Son, you believe I can carry you across?" The boy said he did. Then the Frenchman strapped a chair to his back and asked the boy to get into it, but he would not. Now he believed about Blondin, but did not believe in him. He had such a strong historic faith, he would tell all the boys in his hometown about this wonderful man. But when it came to trusting himself personally to him, he would not. You may have such a strong historic faith about Christ, you could teach a Bible class or preach a convincing sermon on the doctrines of Christianity and silence the infidels, and yet never have that personal faith in Christ to come to him as a lost sinner and trust yourself for time and eternity to him to save you. The Pharisees could outtalk the Sadducees as they searched the Scriptures to argue their beliefs. Yet to them the Lord Jesus said, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." It is not a historic faith about Christ that saves, but a personal faith in Christ that saves. That is why the Bible never offers salvation to those who believe about Christ, but to those who believe in Christ. Third, it is a definite faith and not a general faith. Years ago, when I was preaching in a country community, a man spoke up and said, "Why do you speak to us about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Around here, we all believe in him. We have always believed in him." He spoke sincerely, I doubt not. Later, I learned that those very people were living in drunkenness and immorality. Surely theirs was not the faith that saves. It was just a historic faith, believing about Jesus. And it was just a general faith and not a definite faith. If you believe in Jesus, when did you believe? If you say you always believed, then were you always saved? When were you lost? A new sheriff found a lot of people living together and with families, but they had never been married. He gave them 1 month to get married. How embarrassing. So will it be for you. If you have professed to be a Christian, and yet you have never definitely believed in Jesus to the saving of your soul. Suppose one man said to his woman, "We must be married, we're living that way." Did that make them married? Nor does it make you a real born-again Christian because you are pretending like you are. You go to church, you go through the ordinances, but you have never been born again. Brought up in a godly home from childhood, I believed about Jesus. I would defend the Bible at school, but a personal faith in the Lord Jesus I did not have. I always believed with a general faith, but had I died that way, I would have heard the Lord Jesus say to me, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You never came to me to save you." But one night I had a definite faith. That night, as a lost, repentant sinner, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I had believed about. I came to him to save me, and he did. From that hour, my faith has been a Bible faith, a personal faith, a definite faith. Neighbor, if you have never done that, why not do it now? If you think it too humiliating, junk your pride and prestige and get down on your knees and tell the Lord, "Lord Jesus Christ, now I do believe in thee as my own Lord and Savior, as I come to thee to save me." This can be your definite experience of personal faith in Christ as your own Lord and Savior. This will be the day of all days in your life. Fourth, it is not a hidden faith, but a confessed faith that saves. Listen to God's word. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." God has given you a mouth, and you must with that mouth call upon the name of the Lord. With that mouth confess Jesus as your Lord. You do not have to go to a church or an altar to confess to men to be saved. You can be saved in a desert when all alone, as millions have been. But some think they will be a Christian at heart, but keep it to themselves. Neighbor, it won't work that way. When you get to Christ and are born again, you'll have a new life that cannot be hid. You might as well try and hide a living baby. And one of the first inward urges you will have will be to go home and tell what the Lord has done for you. If you have a faith that you can hide, it's not saving faith, for saving faith lives and it confesses. It doesn't confess, I have joined the church, but it confesses the Lord Jesus, both before God and before men. A man once said to my godly father, "You remind me of a man I knew back in Scotland. He was always talking about the Lord Jesus." This is the confession of saving faith. Is this your testimony, or are you always talking about your religion, your church, or your Sabbath day? Face this big question to see whether yours is the faith that saves. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And fifth, a say-so faith will not save. It takes a live-so faith. Brother James, in the second chapter of his book in the Bible, will tell you the straight on this. Many say they have faith, but their daily lives deny it. They're Christians only from their mouths out. It never reached their hearts nor changed their lives. The Bible warns us of these, saying they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Those who say so but do not live so are hypocrites and are bound for hell fire. Neighbor, don't deceive yourself. If your faith has not changed your life, it is worthless before God and before man. Neighbor, I have tried to help you avoid the faith that does not save. That shortcut faith, that historic faith, that general faith, that hidden faith, that say-so faith. Were you to have all five of these, you still would be hopelessly lost and remain in your sins. What then is that real Bible faith that saves the soul and changes the life? The Gospel of John in the New Testament has more to say about belief, the right kind and the wrong kind, than any book of the Bible. Its first mention is to introduce us to the real faith that saves. Here it is. To as many as received him, even to them who believe on his name. This makes it very real and yet very simple. It is to receive him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. You are the lost sinner. You receive him in all his divine fullness as your Lord, your Savior, and your God. And you hand yourself over to him in all your distress and need. This becomes such a real person-to-person transaction and vital experience. You can say, "I am my Lord's and he is mine. I received him and he has received me, and we are one forever." Surely this is clear to you? If so, then go into action and get alone with God, the living God, who sees you and hears you, and tell him your decision. And as you clasp the feet of the blessed Lord Jesus, cry, "Lord Jesus Christ, I do receive thee to be my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, please receive me and take me as I am, a helpless lost sinner, as I give myself to thee to save and change me, to live for thy glory and praise. Amen." Then you can be sure that all is well with your soul. For when you have Christ and he has you, that is Bible faith. That is God's salvation. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman. Prayer.